You know our hearts and our minds, and you know our longings. You know our fears, our anxieties, our cares, our concerns. We bring them before you now, knowing that you're always faithful. You're always listening. You're always moving on our behalf, even before these words are off of our lips. Today, Lord, I want a special prayer for the police officers, those in the line of duty who are working fearlessly, who are standing there taking the verbal and physical abuse and holding the line. We so appreciate them. Whether they're in the big city or the small village, out in the rural communities, we can sleep at night knowing that they're on restfully. So Lord, strengthen them today, we pray. We also pray for our leaders, from the civil servant in the smallest village to the President of the United States and all those leaders in between. I pray, Lord, that you would, again, even though so many have turned away from you, that you would reveal yourself in your mercy, reveal yourself to them again, that they may know that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that they can come to terms with you, to have their sins forgiven, to be given new life through the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 through 10. Acts chapter 3, 1 through 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put there every day to beg from those who were going to the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Amen. I love that story. Well, I suppose I'm thoroughly beating a dead horse by saying anything related to the pandemic. I believe we're all suffering from coronavirus overload, okay? And this has caused exhaustion for us. We are exhausted by this. And that exhaustion may be more damaging than the virus itself, emotionally and psychologically, for some of us. Just thinking about how we are to be safe, how we are supposed to be virus-free, has caused many of us to probably wish and beg for our pre-pandemic lives to return. Wouldn't it be nice to go back to the old normal? Can we even remember what that looked like now? Some are suggesting that we'd better get used to this new condition of staying on high alert, of being vigilant about our social distancing. They say it is, for us, the new normal in society. It's the new normal. You like that phrase, the new normal? It's one of those phrases that has come into vogue lately, wouldn't you say? Hear it all over the news. But guess what? I don't think it's anything new, this phrase. It was probably used extensively back in 9/11, 2000, after that incident. And we had all this security being bolstered in airports and public transportation areas. It forever altered the way we traveled, didn't it? People said, get used to the new normal. That's new normal. The phrase new normal was probably used quite a bit during the 2008, when they had the mid-2000s, when they had the housing crisis. And we looked, went to the gas station and had to pay $4 a gallon of gas. And people said, get used to the new normal. Remember that time when people just walked away from their houses? They didn't want to pay their mortgage anymore. They couldn't afford to pay the mortgage. How would you like that? Just, you have a house? You say, okay, I'm leaving my house. Pretty amazing. Now here we are, already halfway through 2020. And once again, we find ourselves trying to adjust to a new normal. Which, when you think about it, what is the new normal? Well, it's abnormal events becoming commonplace. That's what it is. Things that we thought were abnormal, all of a sudden, they're common. I ran a simple Google search on the phrase, the new normal. Reveals all sorts of topics. Lists I couldn't, contactless shopping, curbside pickup, buy a car without test driving it. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that. Buy a car without even getting in and kicking the kick the tires and smell the new car smell before you bought it. Remote work. Now we don't have to go to work anymore. We can just stay at home. And if we do go to work, what are they going to do? They're going to check your temperature. Now we have designer masks. You want to, not just any mask, get a designer mask. Empty sports arenas. Contact tracing through your cell phones. They know exactly where you've been, who you talk to. Welcome to the new normal. These are just a few of the ways that our lives have been significantly altered since COVID came to town. And for the most part, guess what? I don't know about you, but I don't like the new normal. When I think of the new normal, the first thing I think of, restrictions, inconvenience, loss of freedom, oppression. This is America, people say. I want to do what I want, when I want, where I want. But the question is, can we do that anymore? Can we do that in a society where there's constant pressure to comply to the new normal? Should we comply? Here's something to consider. If we acknowledge that there is a new normal, that means, in fact, there once was an old normal, which at some point in the past, the old normal was the new normal. Remember those days? Rotary phones and landlines. Anybody got a landline anymore in their house? Remember the days of dot matrix printers? Remember dot matrix printers? Cars without cup holders. Remember those days? I got a car that doesn't have a cup holder. Anybody here have a car without a cup holder? Or how about a backup camera? How can we be so primitive to not have one of those? How can we be so primitive and so careless not to have a backup camera? We all got them now, don't we? We like the old normal. I like the old normal. It was comfortable. It was predictable. I didn't have anxiety attacks anymore. We settled into the old normal. We established a routine. That is what made it normal. The routine of it all. It was good for our psyche. I would dare say it was even good for our soul, this normal. After all, aren't we creatures of habit? We're humans. We're creatures of habit. I walk the dog at this time. I go to the donut shop at this time. I take my pills when the alarm goes off. Routine. It's good for us. Except for when it's bad. Routine can be bad, you know. If I routinely disparage my children, if I purposely attempt to vex my neighbors, that's bad. If I routinely view pornography, or waste our days playing video games. That's bad. If I'm constantly looking for handouts while refusing to be a productive member of society. Again, bad. The bottom line is routine. It's a powerful force in our life. It can significantly influence and establish our character when we do routine. But if the new normal that everybody's talking about, it forces us to alter our routine in such a way that it can actually have an opportunity for our personal character to be changed into and molded into Christ-likeness, that's good. If we can be more godly, more receptive to His Spirit, then I say to you and to God, bring on the new normal. And also this, rejoice in the new normal. Because it means God is using the new normal to accomplish His holy purposes. And one of these purposes includes the transformation of our lives into Christ-likeness. So that we can love and honor God. We can be righteous and holy vessels for His service. That really is the ultimate goal and purpose of human existence. To bring honor and glory to God whom we serve. Love. Now in Acts chapter 3, we read about these two normals. There's the old normal and there's the new normal. And the interesting thing is that the old normal and the new normal, they converge on one particular person, this one man, the crippled beggar, who's been handicapped since birth, and he's over 40 years old. Ought to be 40 years old again. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'd love to be 40 again. For all you folks that are 20 out there, you got a few years. But what is the old normal for this man? At least for this man. I'm speculating here because I've never been in his shoes. But my guess is that this crippled beggar who's been crippled from birth, he feels useless. He feels lonely. He feels invisible. If he could only use his legs and walk like everyone else who passed him daily, well then maybe he's thinking, then I could really be somebody. When you think about it, isn't walking such a simple activity? But no matter how hard this beggar tried to imagine in his mind that he could walk again, he couldn't. This was the only normal he knew, isn't it? And it's been 40 years in the making for him. Can you imagine all the people who passed him daily without even maybe acknowledging him? Oh, I'm sure there were those who greeted him warmly and offered him support whenever they could. But by and large, his presence was probably viewed as a nuisance, a continual reminder of what could possibly happen to your if you didn't God's blessing. He probably had plenty of strange looks from children, scornful looks from adults, wet tongues from stray dogs. You don't crazy things probably like that. No doubt, he probably felt like he was a burden to society. The scriptures even say that when Peter and John met him, get this, I didn't realize this, but it says he was in the process of being carried. So he wasn't there in his spot yet to the place where they put him down. That someone was carrying him. And he was carried every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. This was his normal. Nothing was ever going to change it. How about you? What's your normal? How's your normal? Have you settled into life like the crippled beggar? Resigned to the idea that expecting anything more than a measly handout here or there? Anything else, that's just a pipe dream. Is your normal maybe hoping that nobody will bother you today because you're in the middle of playing Sudoku? People play that stuff, you know. I never play it. Maybe your normal is going to your pantry and double checking that you have all the staples you need for the next pandemic or the next power outage. Do I have enough whatever, flour or salt or, and if I don't, I'm going to rush out to the store and get some. Is that your normal? Maybe your normal is sitting down planning your next trip because it'd be a shame to waste all those air miles on your credit card. Here's my question today. Whatever your normal is, would you be willing to consider a new normal? That's the question. Yesterday morning, I was out taking my dog for a walk. BB. BB's in the house right now. Because if she was out here, she'd be barking at everybody. I do that normally. I take my dog for a walk. I typically enjoy taking my dog for a walk. It's kind of like my, I don't know, I have to do it. It's routine. I like routine. But I did not like taking the dog out yesterday. For one, there were other dogs out there. And when BB sees those other dogs, she goes wild. She gets too wild, too excited, and quite frankly, I wanted to kick her all the way to the moon. That's what I wanted to do. Unfortunately, I refrained because, you know, probably not good to see your pastor out kicking a dog in the neighborhood. Okay? But here's what was really bothering me, and the reason why I was bothered is because I was asking myself this question, and I couldn't answer it. I said, what is the new normal? I was struggling. See, I was struggling because I couldn't finish my sermon until I understood what the new normal was. I couldn't bring that to you this morning. I was struggling. I was thinking over and over, mulling it in my head. What exactly is the new normal? And am I embracing it? Because I'm a rebel. Deep down in my heart, I'm a rebel. I don't like face masks. I don't like sanitizer. I grew up on a farm, okay? We didn't even know what sanitizer was, okay? Sanitizer was, you know, a bar of lava soap and I don't know what else, you know, and a garden hose, exactly. Well, I'll tell you what today's society and culture says new normal is. The repetitive theme that I hear over and over seems to be this idea of autonomy. The idea that we can be our own bosses. We have the right to disregard and disobey legitimate authority. Whether it's parental, whether it's civil, whether it's, I'm going to throw this word out, ecclesiastical. Wow, that was a big one. That's church authority. You know what? I've been in ministry now for quite a while. People don't give two hoots about church authority. We now can go into the public square and we can deface and we can destroy other people's property with impunity and no great threat of consequence will happen. You can go tear down a statue if you want. If there's a statue in Elmont, go tear it down if you want. That's the world's new normal. Adults have been given the green light to act as intemperate children without any recourse. We can be completely irresponsible and suffer no consequences. That's what the world says. So I thought to myself as I'm walking my dog, and I always bring doggy bags with me when I walk the dog, because I don't want my dog going in somebody else's. I'm very good about that. It's called a civil contract, isn't it? You pick up your dog poop. So I thought to myself, this is right. If we continue in this fashion, it only means chaos and anarchy and, quite frankly, godlessness. That's what it is. Call it what it is, godlessness. Paul teaches Romans chapter 13 that we must submit to the governing authorities because there is no authority except that which God established. That's right out of the Bible, people. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Does that mean they're perfect? Obviously no, because humans are involved in the government. So they're not perfect. But God has established them. They're there for a purpose, to maintain order, keep peace, and grant people safety. So then, what is the new normal? And then it hit me. I was reminded of a fundamental principle when it comes to interpreting Scripture. There's two fancy words for us. One's called exegesis. One's called hermeneutics. It's a fancy term for the proper methodology used to interpret Scripture. Okay? And a lot of people don't read the Bible anymore. That goes for Christians too, by the way. We are an illiterate, we're a biblically illiterate society. I mean, my kids can read well, you know. And they memorize some verses here and there. And I'm proud of them for doing that. They have memorized more verses than I probably have memorized Bible verses. But one of the most important principles of interpreting the Scriptures properly is do not forget the context. Do not forget the immediate context of the biblical Scripture you're reading. Do not forget the general context in which that piece of Scripture is found. And when I did that, I realized what the new normal was. There's two important things going on here. In the immediate context, or the general context, is this. The Heavenly Father in Acts chapter 2, because we just read Acts chapter 3, a few verses in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 2, it says that the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers. That is the beginning of the church. That is Pentecost. That is when they're all gathered in the room together. Suddenly, a sound of the blowing of a violent wind from heaven filled the whole house. They were sitting, and all of them, it says, were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled. That's the context. The beginning of the church. Here's the other thing that was happening. There were people, masses of people, who did not have a clue about that. They were still going on with life as usual, going to the temple, offer sacrifices to God, in order to appease him. Do you see the collision that just occurred? The most powerful force in the universe just came down on a few people and it was completely invisible to the masses. A huge transition just happened. A cataclysmic shift was taking place right before their very eyes and very few noticed, only a scant few noticed this amazing event. It had everything to do with how a person was to relate with God, how a person was to worship the one true God, how to approach Him, where to approach Him. And isn't it ironic that this crippled beggar who wished he could go to the temple to worship God, but he couldn't. He was handicapped. There was the old normal. The mindset that said, I must go to the temple to offer my sacrifices in order to maintain my righteous relationship with God. That's the old normal. That's the old way to think. And then there was the brand new reality before them. The new normal, of which so many people were unaware of then. They're unaware of this today. Even though they'll go to church. Even though there's 10% of America goes to church now. We live in a post-Christian era. I'm telling you that right now. But the brand new reality is this. God no longer lives in the temple made of earth and stone. He lives in His people, those who believe in God's perfect Son, Jesus. That becomes the temple. We, His children, have become the temple of God. This is the new normal that we need to embrace. We must embrace as a church if we are to be what God has called us to be. Peter writes, as you come to Him, speaking of Jesus, the living stone rejected by men, chosen by God, precious to Him, you also are the living stones. You are being, get this, being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood. What does a priest do? A priest intercedes between God and man and says, I want to try to make this relationship between you work. Like a mediator. The great high priest is Jesus. He says, I want to make this relationship work between God and man. It's so important to me, I'm willing to die. I'm willing to have the wrath of the Father poured out on me so that we can have forgiveness. And that our relationship with God can be, we can be restored and have a right relationship with Him. Here's the difference between the old normal and the new normal. It's about the direction we choose to follow. The old normal says we need to operate our lives from the outside in. Do things on the outside. Do external things and somehow maybe God will accept us. But external acts of humanity, no matter how good they are, will never restore our relationship with God. They won't restore our relationship with God any more than trying to make this country greater by going out and tearing down a statue. Tearing down a statue is not going to make this place a more equitable place to live. The statues that need to be torn down are in us. They need to be torn down within our hearts. We must go about living from the inside out. That will make all the difference in the world. Democracy only works when we can self-govern our personal lives. We cannot do that without God's Spirit in our lives. God directs us. He teaches us. When we live our lives inside out, that means God is living in us and through us. Paul writes in Galatians, he says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Christ lives within me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's inside out living. That's the new normal. And the amazing thing is the new normal happened 2,000 years ago. The day the Holy Spirit came down on His people, His believers, and formed the church. That began the new normal. So the crippled beggar walked. More than that, he jumped, he leapt, he praised the Lord. Because he was physically healed? Of course, because he was physically healed. That's wonderful. I love that. But more than that, because he got to live the new normal. He didn't have to go to the temple to worship God. Now he could do it in the backyard of his own house. He worshiped the Lord. He was living inside out. He's living by the Holy Spirit. Question is, are you? Are you living by the Holy Spirit? Is this true for you? Are you living the new normal? This is what Jesus was trying to get across to the woman at the well. You remember the story of the woman in the well? The Samaritan woman? He introduced herself and Jesus introduced Himself to her and And she went, well, where can I worship? You seem to be a man of God. You know a lot of information. I'm a Samaritan woman. The Jews say I have to go to the temple to worship. But my ancestors say, you know, worship on the mountain. So I pose that question to you, Jesus, the Samaritan woman said. Where should I go to worship? He says, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you do not have to go to the mountain. You do not have to go to the temple. You just have to be a true worshiper. One who worships in spirit and in truth. These are the worshipers the Father seeks. Jesus was trying to get across to the woman the new normal. The amazing thing is, the new normal's been here for 2,000 years. It's been available to us ever since, again, the promised Holy Spirit was poured out. Jesus said, I'm going to do that. It's going to be poured out on all flesh. And when it is, you will no longer have a heart of stone. You will have a soft heart, one that is responsive and receptive to God, to His truth, giving you the power to love and to serve, to worship, and to sacrifice. The gift was given 2,000 years ago. Isn't it time we start living the new normal? The crippled beggar received it in Acts chapter 2. He worshiped his Creator. He worshiped his Savior in spirit and truth. We would do well to follow in that beggar's footsteps. Julie, where's she at? We'll close our time together with another hymn. Go on that slide. I almost flipped off. When I went the other side, I almost flipped off. What's our closing hymn? Is it written in a... Something beautiful. You see, yeah. Did Peter touch the crippled beggar? Yes. But more importantly than that, it was Christ Jesus the Savior touched this man. I pray that He's touched you in some way. I mean, when you think about all this time we've had spent at home and not going to work and having our routine changed up, you know, maybe your heart became softer to respond to the Lord. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. Most of you folks are diehard Christians, and I love every one of you. But, you know, our church has got a lot of work to do.